So today's episode feels particularly important to share. And the reason being, through my own experience and through witnessing other people go through the process that we're going to discuss in today's episode, I've come to realize the extent of how much society as a collective has been stepping over the really important stuff in human transformation, in creating the life of our wildest dreams, in learning to love and accept ourselves and love and accept others. And I kind of almost feel like I've got to eat my own foot. Is that the saying? Did I make that up? I don't know. I kind of feel like I have to eat my words rather. In sharing this episode, because for me, I've been the mindset coach for so long, and it's only really been in the last maybe 4 months that I've really come to realize how much mindset is really only like 50% of the pie. And that's funny for me to say because, I used to preach mindset is everything, mindset is everything. And I still believe that mindset has a massive impact and a massive, it really is such a hugely important aspect of, well, whatever our pursuit may be, whatever we're trying to create in life and however we're trying to show up. And beyond mindset is embodiment. And so, as I said, I'm particularly amped to have Joshua Shanks, founder of Rage Club, join me as a guest today to talk about anger, to talk about aggression, to talk about passion, to talk about essentially learning to be with different emotions and then to, in a way, kind of utilize being with them, utilize what different emotions bring up, and through that process, start to like really unlock a whole new way of showing up in the world and a whole new way of being and a whole new way of experiencing. And I had the pleasure of participating in Rage Club at a recent event, which we kind of dive into a little bit in this particular episode. But I urge you, if you're listening in, if this sparks something for you, if you feel called, go and check out more of Josh's work because this stuff is so powerful, and I'm telling you now ahead of time, this is the stuff that's going to change the world. So without further ado, episode, what are we up to? 96. Woo! Of the Live Free Experience podcast, joined by Joshua Shanks. Let's get this show on the road. All right. Where do we start? Tell us a bit about you.
Okay, so my name is Joshua Shanks. The exciting stuff is that I come from the UK, and everyone works that out within the first 15 minutes of talking to me. My favourite way of doing my accent is saying, "Let's take a lovely photo." I think that really gives a great demonstration of an accent.
Just say it one more time.
A lovely photo, and that's the dog at the door.
Yep, I knew that was going to happen.
That's
excellent.
Great.
Good start.
Pablo's part of this interview, and he'll add energy where necessary.
All right.
All right, he's coming in.
Otherwise, right. He's going to scratch.
That's cool. All right, we'll just have him sit with us.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess the interesting thing about me at the moment and why I'm like keen to talk about this is I'm running something called Rage Club.
Mm-hmm. Which I had the pleasure of being a part of the other week.
Yeah, what did you think?
I was thinking just the other week how much, society is so disconnected from how to actually deal with our emotions, especially anger, and it's considered to be so destructive and like something that should be avoided and pushed away and, stepped over. And, I was like, fuck, how do you actually deal with it? How do you actually, the space is very rarely there to actually be able to move through rage. Mm. So, and then you pop up, ta-da, with Rage Club. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Society wants to push it down, but it's actually I've realised, and that's part of my journey, and which is why I want to bring this to the world, is that once we stop holding back, we start really leaning in and letting go. Mm-hmm. And I feel like some of these bigger emotional conditionings, I guess, we have in society, including rage, is that it's unfavourable to express it.
Yeah.
And I think that's partly because of what we see in the news, in films,
yeah.
In books, is like someone that's getting angry is dangerous, yeah. is violent. And so we learn from thousands of years of cultural conditioning that rage is not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up with the same. I grew up with the same kind of situation where I watched my dad beat my mom. And so there was a lot of rage and anger around that. And like, yeah, that's a bit vulnerable to share, but it's the truth. And so from a really young age, I got to see the damage that rage does to somebody and losing control. You know, I started this whole conversation off with, if we can get rid of this conditioning, then we can let go.
Mm.
And so the first thing we need to do is let go in safe spaces.
Yeah.
And so Rage Club, the idea of Rage Club and why I've brought it in is because of all the work that I've done on my own rage has basically allowed me to turn up exactly who I am unapologetically in the moment.
Yeah.
And I've had the fortune of being in some amazing spaces where they've helped me connect and go deep. And I want to bring that to the world. And I am going to bring that to the world, right? I am going to bring that to the world. And I am doing many things in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And so Rage Club at the moment is this, wow, you've got a really long tongue. that's Pablo the dog, by the way. Brianna's like, no. Oh, yeah, buddy. We've just bonded to a new whole level there. The dog's making eye contact with me. It's giving me those puppy dog eyes. Stop it.
Beautiful. So how did Rage Club come about then? Talk us through the story of it.
Yeah, I love that question. There's a place that I spent about 5 months last year in New Zealand called Hayden.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mystery school. And someone asked me what a mystery school is, and the first response is the easy one. It's a mystery.
Okay.
It's a place where we study soul initiation.
Okay.
And what that means is between the personality and the soul, what does that look like and how does that come about? Mm-hmm. And the first thing we need to do is learn to get out of our own way as quickly as possible so we can allow something, a message, a bigger thing to come mm-hmm. through. We all have those moments where we're like, where did that even come from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we've just done an idea yeah. or we're in a new place and we're like, how did I even get here?
Yeah.
And so that could be considered the soul talking to us, and we may just follow that or not. And so what Hayden teaches is to get the personality out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big things is the conditioning around rage, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't want to be angry. I want to be nice. I want everyone to like me.
Mm-hmm.
All of those common things where like perfectionism and things that I've got to be in control. And the thing is with all of those things, if we have those in our personalities, it's really, really hard to allow the flow, allow presence to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I spent a lot of my time getting told I'm angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the people that are telling me this and I'm like, no, I'm not.
Mm.
And they're like, yeah, you're angry. And I'm like, nah, I'm not. Mm. It's just like that feeling of like, don't fucking tell me who I am and what I am. And it's like, of course I'm angry.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's one of the challenges is like, we don't know we're walking around with this.
Yeah.
And so every morning for quite a while, I woke up and was intentionally looking in a mirror, making myself angry.
Yeah.
And like trying to look and see what other people saw in me.
Yeah.
And like, so sitting in front of a mirror and watching my face distort and change. And I noticed that half of my face would go droopy when that anger came on and things like that. So really, really interesting somatic signals of how we pick up on different people's anger.
Yep.
And so someone could be sitting there going, yeah, I'm fine. And we even pick up on that, right? There's no life force there. There's no energy. And it's like, well, you're suppressing something.
Mm-hmm.
And most people are like, no, I'm not.
Mm.
And it's like, cool. And so I did my own practices. And every time I did a practice and got deeper, people around me would be like, wow, you feel really soft this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, what are they seeing? Like, what are they feeling? And it's basically when we stop holding back, we've got all that extra energy and it's easeful, you know, the tension disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming back to your question of like, how did this all start? I did a lot of work on this. And then someone in the next training that was happening came up to me and asked me, hey, can you help me connect to the same place?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, of course. And then the next day she was like, how about we do it for everybody? And so everybody in the community was then like riled up and been like, who wants to learn about their rage? Mm-hmm. And Josh was going to facilitate.
Fuck yeah.
And this was me stepping into, I've done facilitation in many different ways. It was the first time I'm stepping into the emotional space. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, cool, the woman that asked me to do it, I was like, can you co-facilitate with me to help me hold this? And she's like, of course. Oh.
Bless you.
Wow. That was orgasmic. So yeah, we had that beautiful like moment of me standing in this room, and this, we called it a temple, and this temple with only like 5 or 6 women around us that all wanted to work on their rage, and she got triggered. Mm-hmm. And so even in the co-facilitation position, she got triggered. And then so we had rage in the room, and so we just started journeying with that and working out how do we move this. Mm-hmm. And that's where it all began.
Wow.
And then for the following few weekends, I ran it and different people. And the thing that I really loved about this, and I get excited, I'm like sitting up right now, I'm really looking at Brianna, like, ah! The thing that I really loved in this moment was the enthusiasm and fun of people around me when I was talking about it.
Mm.
It was just like, what's this? Like, what do you mean that you can connect with your rage? What do you mean you can express it? And that was really exciting. And mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, and that's where it started.
Yeah, okay. So for someone who comes along to Rage Club, what can they expect? Because I feel like a lot of my listeners are going to be like, what exactly?
Yeah, so the way I explain it in the course and to people that ask that question is that our emotional bodies are like a palette of colours.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't even know what colours are missing on that palette until we get to experience them for the first time.
Yeah.
And so when we get a group of people in a room that that are willing to go somewhere new, what we do is give permission to everybody to bring their colour to the room.
Yeah.
And so then they start expressing, and it's non-toxic. So what I mean by that, it's not confrontational, it's not antagonistic. And it's basically you turn up with who you are, knowing that you've got interest and desire to connect with your rage.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I take you through exercises, a bit like a roller coaster, gradually building the intensity.
Mm-hmm.
So that everybody that's participating gets to express and release a new part of themselves that they've mm-hmm. never seen before.
Yeah.
And so because there is a room full of people doing it,
mm.
we're community creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And so one person going a little bit deeper mm-hmm. encourages everyone else to go there. And then the next person can't help but go to the next step.
Yeah.
And so we end up in this vortex or this container of permission to fully express and go there to the depths we didn't even know we had inside mm-hmm. us.
Yeah. And then from that creates a capacity for more joy, more of the good shit, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so once we've learned to express it in this way, we're no longer unknown in our own expression.
Mm.
And so we've got reference points that we walk out of there being like, oh, that's what happens when I go mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
And then the next time we have to go there, we can actually choose.
Yeah.
And that is powerful because yeah. now we're turning up in a place where we can just trust and be yeah. present. Without yeah. having to worry about what if.
Yeah. Mm. I feel like for me, I mean, I've experienced myself as someone who has had a lot of suppressed anger because I haven't known how to deal with it in a way that I guess society deems as acceptable. And so what I have experienced is that I suppress that until eventually something will trigger it where it comes out uncontrollably. And I guess having now done Rage Club, my experience now is that it's like, I guess because I've been to the depths of it, now it no longer, I guess there's more of a sense of, not control as such, but it doesn't come out in this big burst of like, you know, a big pressure release where I'm not in my body, I'm not really able to observe it as it comes up, and, you know, it comes out in ways that I don't necessarily want it to come out. Now I'm able to, yeah, sort of, I guess, I know the feeling and be a little bit more self-aware as it does come up so that, yeah, it's not destructive.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. And what it unleashed for me was that, and this was something that was really beautiful about being, and obviously I won't speak on anyone else's experience in that room, but witnessing other people go there and seeing what came up as a result and having the discussions with people. Like, for me, I realized so much of my anger stems from, like, sadness is underneath it. But I grew up the only girl amongst, you know, mostly boys, my brother's friends, my cousins. And so crying wasn't acceptable. You know, crying was like, what the fuck? Like, this sissy girl, you know? And so it came out as anger instead. And so when I released anger, then it's like, I feel that I noticed the sadness there, which up until Rage Club, I didn't really realize that it was there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And again, witnessing other people come to realize what's underneath it for them. Powerful.
Yeah. When we start out, we allow our bodies and our emotional centers to take us on that journey, right?
Mm.
And so rage is generally existing because there's a hope something will change.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hold on to that power and we want it to be like, I am not going to give up on this.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, generally at the beginning when we make those decisions, we're like 5 or 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we hold those beliefs all the way through our adult lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, they're made with a young mind.
Mm.
And we don't have the tools that we have today.
Yeah.
And so the first time someone comes to Rage Club or a container where they're allowed to express these emotions, they get to reconnect with those,
yeah,
those contracts,
yeah,
that they made.
Yeah.
And so then we get to connect with them. Then we get to go on the next journey of like sadness or grief or happiness or joy or laughter. And then we come back to rage again. And so it's this dipping into the emotional body, understanding the contracts, dissolving them. And then the question becomes, so why do we need rage? What does it turn up for us? In what ways? And so the next step after that, and that's why it's a club. That's why it's not a workshop.
Yeah.
Because we need to keep coming back to this energy to familiarize ourselves. It's a relationship. And with that relationship, we get to learn how it wants to turn up, how we can use it, and start forging connections into this energy that has changed the world so many times. And so once we stop going on these contracts of emotional journeys, we then start purposely bringing our awareness to that energy center and holding ourselves there. And this is where it gets really fucking exciting, because then we stand for something and we're like, cool, I'm going to stand for to stop the destruction of the rainforests in the Amazon, right? And so all of a sudden, I now need to choose to power myself up with an energy. And that is where we are all sorcerers, wizards, and we can sit there and go, I know exactly the right energy. The energy of rage.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand here and I'm going to be empowered by that.
Yeah.
And then people look at us in that energy and be like, they're not fucking around.
Yeah.
Like, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
Like, that person is unwavering.
Yeah.
I want to follow someone like that. I want to support someone like that. I want to be there.
Yeah.
And that is where it starts getting really fucking fun.
Yeah.
And so Rage Club is learn about those contracts that you've made. Learn about what that energy feels like. Get the reference points. And then we start coming back and start playing with, well, how do I empower myself?
Yeah.
And that's the next step.
That was something that you did mention when you ran us through the process. And I loved this reframe, because I think, you know, as we said at the start, society does have such a story around anger, and that it's strictly negative. And, you know, I mean, I remember witnessing as a kid often, not necessarily from my parents, but, you know, my friend's parents, this story of, you know, if a kid would start to get angry and act up, it was almost like, shh, you know, like lull them back down into peace and quiet. So there's this real story around avoiding it and stepping over it and suppressing it. And, you know, it's not right. And so you reframed it that it's such a potent, powerful, positive at times, you know, when it's fueled in the right direction, it's a powerful emotion to work with and to utilize.
You give me goosebumps when you say that. You're singing the same song I am.
Yeah.
Right? And that's my purpose right now, is to condition society to see this energy as one that allows us to stand up in our truths.
Yeah.
And then we go into my different coaching programs, and what I offer there is we use that energy as our boundary,
yeah,
right? Someone meets power like that,
mm-hmm,
they don't want to step over you,
yeah,
but they also feel your fierceness and your softness. You know, like when you can stand in something and know who you are, you can also fully relax it, because at any moment you can call upon it in varying degrees to be like, hey, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the words, it's my energy that starts showing up. Mm-hmm. And then people are like, oh, okay. Like, I haven't raised my voice. I haven't used any different words. I haven't been smart or passive aggressive. I've just been like, hey, don't do that.
Yeah.
And all the energy that I can call upon is felt.
Yeah.
And then that is where I can be like totally relaxed, totally jovial, fun, enjoying life, being present, not worrying about my company.
Mm.
I could just turn up and basically be me.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where my other programs come in. And that's where I teach you about the essence of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so with those two energies combined, we end up creating these humans that have come to this planet for whatever belief system you hold about why we exist on this planet. Essentially, if we're not creating, we're destroying.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so it's like, it's great for the mind to think like black and white sometimes, and that's how I like to structure it. Mm-hmm. If we're on this planet creating, how do we start something? Mm-hmm. How do we go about creating something? And when we can create something from nothing, we need to be able to have really good control of our surroundings,
mm-hmm.
in a way that allows us to continue seeding and having fun,
mm-hmm.
bringing people in that journey, and also protecting that very young, like, idea, sapling, whatever, like, metaphor you like to use.
Mm-hmm.
And so rage is one of those beautiful boundaries, that energies that we can use to then seed new things into this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And that...
Yeah.
That wakes me up at 5 o'clock every morning.
Hell yeah.
That kind of energy.
I like what you said there about being able to kind of harness rage with a softness. When you first initially talked us through Rage Club, for me, like I've always considered myself to be an angry person, and up until recently, that's been quite a suppressed energy. But you know, I'm very clear on my boundaries. I'm very clear on I'm willing to be assertive. And when you mentioned Rage Club, I was like, I don't really know whether that's something that I need to further tap into, right?
Right.
The really cool thing for me is that it's almost, up until that point, a lot of the feedback I got was that I'm intimidating and I'm too harsh, and that it's almost like off-putting because I'm so willing to be assertive, and that people don't feel the depth of how much I actually really give a fuck. And so through actually expressing the anger, I learned how to actually lean into softness and to be able to like do both. You know, I extended the range to be able to go from more of a boundary assertive, you know, anger based place to being able to also be without all of that as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that it unleashed something that I did not think it would.
Yeah.
You know, when you're leaning into anger, I didn't expect that what I would get was also a further ability to be without, so to speak.
Right. And I think this is such the challenge with this kind of work, is that how do, and like, I'll throw it out to you as well, I have a bit of a conversation on this, is
mm-hmm.
how do we create something in somebody where they've already got no reference points of what's possible.
Mm.
You know, like, oh, I'm already in touch with my rage, someone says.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, I can see that. It's fully present right now.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You know, and then they lean forwards and they give you the big glowing eyes and you're just like, all right, they're not fully aware or embodied in their experience of what that can be.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to offend them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to show them up. But you also want to show them that this power that they're using right now can mm-hmm. be used for something else, and it's not necessary in this situation.
Yeah.
So it comes from a place of nurture and love yeah. and support, but it's also like, hey, there's something I can show you right now, and I'd love to, but not be confrontational about it or push yes. it, you know?
Yeah.
So what do you think? How do you like to create awareness around things you've got no idea, or other people haven't got no idea about? I'm sure you've got things in your life.
Oh God, that's a big question. And you know, this is something that, like, I to be honest, I probably don't have an answer to, because it's something that I come up against in my coaching work so often, where, you know, I work with a lot of high performers, so athletes, entrepreneurs, that sort of thing. And my experience of that sort of niche is that they've already got incredible results in their life.
Yeah.
And it's human nature to hit that point where it's like, we've already created a reality for ourselves is just so far beyond what we thought we were capable of creating, that we take our foot off the gas.
Yeah.
And you know, and then we forget to, and I mean, there's two sides to this. There's an element of like, be grateful for what you have, and also like, continue to choose growth. But it's almost like they become complacent about the fact that things can always get better. Like, we can always experience more joy, more abundance, more whatever you want to create. And so, yeah, I mean, it's almost this experience of how do I take someone who's already deeply in love with everything that they've created and show them there's a whole nother world that they've sort of been blinkered to.
Gotcha.
And I mean, my experience is that we tap into that through going to the places we haven't been yet. And in this case, it's going deeper into rage. Yeah. I don't think that answers your question, but yeah.
It's good to hear you talk, and I'm realizing that, and so I'm not sure if you're working with Kate and Jeff quite as much as I am, but one of the things, it's like showing people the art of the possible.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Like being in a room with them and watching them sell, watching them talk to the audiences and creating all the different like visions of what's possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so part of my responsibility in the work that I do is to help people see what they're really capable of.
Yes.
And that, like, and so hearing you talk about, oh my God, I didn't even know that was possible.
Yes.
It's like, I've been successful there.
Yeah.
I've created something, you've come in, and you've had to give yourself permission to go there.
Yeah.
And that takes, like, kind of you wanting to show up and experience it, like you just said. So I think there's, like, an alchemy or a soup of different ingredients that isn't quite the same for everybody, but some winning formulas. Wow, what are those doctors? some winning formulas that really kind of...
Yeah.
Gather the masses.
Yeah. It's that element of we don't know what we don't know.
Ah, now.
You know, yeah, we don't know what's past what we've already created, you know?
Yeah.
What's outside of those blinkers that we haven't known we've been wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how scary sometimes is it to acknowledge that we see something in someone else and we don't understand how they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're like, oh, like, especially with something like rage. When we see someone being rageful, all our own stuff comes up, being like, I can't be like that. I saw other people like that. I know how destructive that is.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of the negative stuff. So it's not even like, and when you see someone being funny or laughing, it's like, wow, I want to be like that person. Mm-hmm. You know, immediately like admiration or maybe some jealousy, but it's generally because you want to be like that person. You see someone in their anger, you generally don't want to be like that person,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so... where's good, healthy examples of anger in the world?
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we... And this is just basically answering my question in some ways. I need to show more healthy people. Like, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. standing up with his I Have a Dream speech. That is a prime example of someone in their rage.
Yes.
In their healthy rage.
Yeah.
Who doesn't get goosebumps from listening to that first opening line. Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
And so it's like creating that... Let's take you there. Another favourite one you might know, Nanette. It was done by Hannah Gadsby, the Australian comedian. Yeah. She got up at the Sydney Opera House and took everyone over an hour on a journey of emotion, undid comedy how it is shown today, and used her rage in such healthy expression that you could have heard the pin drop off of her like brooch with the amount of tension she built in the room from expressing it in such a beautifully crafted way.
Yeah.
And so... I think that's the other thing, is to create a desire to want to actually connect with it, you know, like,
Yeah, it's funny, as you mentioned, Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, it's, once upon a time, I wouldn't have connected that with rage.
Yeah.
You know, like, I wouldn't have heard that and gone, oh, that's a healthy expression of rage or anger. I can see the connection now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think that just shows how much, you know, as humans, I can only speak for myself here, but I only saw it as, you know, rage and anger was bad.
Yep.
You know, and that's passion or that's something else, even though passion actually stems from
rage.
Right? But there's that disconnect. And I think something I've witnessed for myself, a transformation I've witnessed for myself through being more able to be with my anger, is how much I'm able to be with others. Anger as well, you know, how much more when someone is yelling at me or, you know, attacking me or, you know, whatever it might be, I can just hold, I can hold the space because I've met myself there.
Yeah.
And so there's not that same trigger that once arose for me. Yeah.
Totally. And you're hitting on a really important point. Like things like being ravished in the bedroom. Women love to be taken, so do men sometimes as well, right? And so when we're met with that ferocious taking energy from a lover, most women today get that confused as a predator.
Yes.
Right? Fuck, they are dangerous. They will just take from me. And the thing is, all they're seeing is a reflection of the unintegrated energy in themselves. Mm-hmm. If I can fully stand and watch someone get angry, I feel safe in my own body because I know I've been there as well. It's familiar energy.
Yeah.
And the same vibration is in the bedroom with that sex and that wild hotness. Mm-hmm. It's like you'll be able to meet a partner that can meet you in that space because you've been there yourself.
Yeah.
And so it's only when we start doing the work on ourselves mm-hmm. do we then start bringing in people that can mirror us mm-hmm. because they feel comfortable with us as well, yeah. right? Oh, yeah. wow, like this person's been there in their rage. I've got full permission to go there.
Yeah.
And you can hold me in it, and then together we get through it in 10 minutes rather than spend 2 years freaking arguing around the point because
yes.
neither of us have the confidence or the knowledge of how yeah. to get there. Just get there,
yeah.
get back out, and then let's go and create something.
Yeah.
Let's go and have some fun. Let's go and live an experience, you know, because otherwise we can spend a lifetime just spending, avoiding these tense moments where it could be hot, passionate sex, or it could be like an exciting, exhilarating motorbike ride. Yeah, I'm a bit of an extremist in some ways. But that moment of really feeling.
Yeah. Mm. My brain's just ticking over with this. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, what you said there about, you know, kind of tiptoeing around what's actually going on for years at a time, that's something I witness constantly. Ah. Where, you know, people are... I mean, we see it. We know it's there. We know when someone's living with that anger from maybe childhood or, you know, from something that's happened to them at some point. And although it's not necessarily something that's consciously on the forefront of their mind, you know, there's a knowing that it takes up energetic capacity, you know, mentally, emotionally. It takes up space in their life. And if they were just willing to lean in, and just express that in, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, whatever it takes to process through it, all of that space is there.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what can we then fill that space with? Like, right. what's possible from there, you know? Yeah. Then it's just joy or, you know, fun or whatever it is you want to create.
Exactly. We're the sorcerers of our own reality.
Yeah.
There's a story that that came up while you were sharing that when you just said, like, if they could just express it. I've done a few different containers in my time, and what I call a container is like Rage Club, but over a week or something, mm-hmm. like truly transformational work with intensity. And one of the programs is called ISTA, and I recommend everybody to check it out. Mm-hmm. It's called International School of Temple Arts. It's around the world, amazing work. And in this particular story, there's me, this angry man that doesn't know he's angry. And I'm at this course, and a woman comes up to me and goes, I can see you're angry. Why do you hold on to it? And like this moment of like, I am fucking angry. Like, yeah, I am. And what really pisses me off is when people go, why are you holding on to it? Well, if I knew how to let it go, do you not think I would have let it go at this point?
Exactly.
And it's just, and that really like kind of, that ticks me off. And we don't have the tools. We don't have the tools. And like, I'm getting really expressive with my body right now. You can't see, but I wish we did. Like,
yeah.
And the thing is, it's not like picking up a manual. Oh, have a manual to your human body. It's not. It's an embodied practice.
Yes.
Like, how many people do you know that have read a book on how to swim and then go jump in the ocean? There's not many that survive that experience because there's an embodiment aspect and that all the online courses in the world and all of the books in the world are still not going to give you the same, what's the word I'm looking for? The same tactile experience of touching something, of smelling something, of feeling something. And the feeling is Rage Club, is working with me one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
It's where I can, and it sounded so ridiculous. The first time I sat in the room and I ran Rage Club, I was like, who knows what the feeling of rage is like? And I'm going off topic, I'll come back in a second. and everyone was like, no, not really, or yeah, I think so. And I was like, cool, feel this. And then essentially all I did was went into my Modi and called in rage.
Yeah.
And basically filled the room up with my own rage. I wasn't getting angry. I wasn't screaming and shouting. I wasn't using words. I was literally choosing to fill my body with a feeling of rage.
Yeah.
And what happened next was like, am I being ridiculous? Like, can we really do this?
Yeah.
And each person was then like, I feel your rage. It brings this up in me. I can't feel anything right now. I've gone numb.
Wow.
And so like, just from being in that experience, were then they able to start connecting to it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, when someone says, hey, just let it go, it's like, well, obviously if I could let it go,
yeah,
I would be.
Yeah.
And if you knew how to help me let it go, would you be telling me to let it go, or would you be doing it with me?
Yes.
Because no, none of us really want to see each other,
yeah,
suffer.
Yeah.
But we can't sometimes say, hey, I don't know what I need to do for you,
yeah,
but I can see this.
Yeah.
And I love you and I want to see the best for you.
Yeah.
And that's where it starts becoming really fucking sticky. It's like,
yeah.
And that's harder, right?
Yeah. I mean, when I first identified the amount of suppressed anger, so I come from a heavy mindset-based background.
Yeah.
Done a lot of, you know, like cognitive work, all of that sort of stuff. And what I realized more recently in my journey is that stuff's amazing and it's from the head up.
Yeah.
It doesn't take, you know, it doesn't consider, you know, the somatic body. It doesn't consider like the storage of these energies in our cells.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it is taking up space in our body. And so when I first sort of realized the extent to which I had this suppressed anger, I did a lot of cognitive work going, okay, what is the benefit of anger, and you know, how does it serve us and all of that, which was amazing because I came to realize it was neither right nor wrong. It was neither good nor bad. It just was.
Yeah.
And that a lot of my anger had allowed me to get where I wanted to be and to share the message with the world I wanted to share and to stand in my truth and, you know, have boundaries and all of that. And yet I still had people saying to me, you know, I see a lot of suppressed anger and sadness for you. And I remember, I think I started the start of the episode here saying, you know, like I had a couple of months ago now an experience that brought up a lot of anger and I could just feel it sitting there.
Yeah.
And I was like, how the fuck do I get rid of this? Like, what do I do with it? What do I, you know, how? And
my jaw's clenching as she says this. I can feel it. Like, even is it real for you right now? You're just talking about the experience.
Yeah. And you know, it was like I could feel it sitting there bubbling, and I just didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And I actually remember having the thought, wouldn't it be cool if there was something out there that like taught us this?
Yeah.
You know, and I had the idea. Well, I mean, I could go somewhere and I could yell. Or I could, you know, go lock myself in my room and like punch a pillow or whatever. And then the stories popped up of, well, if I go somewhere public, people are going to freak out when they see
judged.
The person on the beach, you know, like screaming at the top of her voice. Or, you know, my roommate's going to be wondering what the fuck's going on when she hears me, you know, laying into my mattress or, you know, whatever it might be. And so it was, even when I felt I did have an answer, it still wasn't a safe answer. It was still, you know, that dynamic of, well, I'm going to get judged for this and I might have the cops called on me when I'm, you know, they're banging on my chest in public or something. So yeah, I think it's fucking so powerful and needed what you're up to.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really, like when I was searching for a place to do this, it was like, I'm sitting there talking to yoga studios and different like places across the Gold Coast being like, I need a full permission space.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the hell is a full permission space? And I'm like, do you understand like emotional releasing? They're like, yeah. And you see like the concern and the color disappear from their face in that moment. And the, what do you want? And I'm like, I want bolsters so people can express with their fists.
Yeah.
I want a place where they can scream and not have to worry about being told not to and it's not okay.
Mm.
And the thing is, when we start trying to do something for the first time, we're bad at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, because to get good at something, we have to start bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, how do we give permission to ourselves to start something and be bad at it? Playing a musical instrument is a really great example of that. It's not rage, it's just playing an instrument. But oh my God, I played a violin and it sounds awful sometimes. And so it's like, where do I learn to play, right? And so it's the same with rage. It's like, where can we learn to play?
Yeah.
And so you come along to Rage Club, we're already in a space where I've taken care of a lot of those needs that a beginner has no idea they're going to need.
Yeah.
And that's already like, and then they like, all of a sudden they're like, oh. And they get goosebumps.
Yeah.
Because they're like, fuck, this guy's really seen what it takes. Mm-hmm. And then the next step is basically go. Mm. Go. Yeah. Start playing. And then I teach you how to move your body. I teach you how to use your voice.
Yes.
I teach you how to hold yourselves and like what the energy looks like as it's moving. And we get to see everybody else doing that. So you've got role models that are different places than you.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that, we get a complete experience for 3 hours on a Friday night once a month where we can really fucking go there.
Mm.
And that, for me, is .
Yeah. And just what you said there, the full permission space, the importance of that is huge. I mean, I had late last year had an experience where we worked through moving rage and you know, like releasing it onto a bolster. And you know, we had some angry metal music playing and whatever else. And then all of a sudden the music's got turned down and it's okay, cops have been called, so we're gonna have to unfortunately bring a close to this. And you know, that in itself, it's actually only just landing now, as you spoke about the, you know, the full permission space. Even that was like, just cementing that thing of
fucked, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, that obviously a concerned passerby has called the cops.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I totally comprehend why a concerned passerby would, you know, call the cops, because from the outside, it would have sounded pretty, you know, full on. But you know, it did really cement that, like, okay, like rage is something to be feared or something to immediately think the worst of when that's not the case.
Well, it's not the case. Yeah. And once we spent an hour or so in the space, we were already working with the new tools that can be easily downloaded and found on the web. In fact, I'll probably just make a small video on it, because my goal isn't to create a business from this. I'm sad that I've got a business for this almost.
Yeah.
Because if we knew how to do this as a society, I'd be out of a job.
Yeah.
And when I'm out of a job doing this, I'm celebrating.
Yeah.
Because then we can focus on having fun.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is a way more interesting job in some ways.
Yeah.
So this is an interim step.
Yeah.
And if it goes, like, my plan is to take it global. I've got different places in the world that are interested. And so setting up, not another like teacher training, but just like what it takes to give people to go there. Because most people want to go there.
Yeah.
And so it's like, what does it take to set it up?
Yeah.
What does it take to hold it? Because the other thing is, when this rage goes crazy, you need someone in the room that's been to the darkest places already.
Yes.
Because when you can find someone that has the nervous system that holds this energy, you're already giving it permission to come through. And so that's so important as well. And so these key ingredients all coming together then create this alchemized environment, and we can start really. And my plans for Rage Club is bringing in other things, like going into speeches and charging ourselves up with rage, and how we can do like practical workshops on that, or how we have conversations with loved ones, because it's one thing practicing it. Then when it's real, we've got a whole nother layer of emotion that's running in our bodies, neurochemicals that are firing off, and then it's like, kind of, now this shit matters as well, and that's a whole nother layer that we can practice. And if we can practice that, and I get excited, so my body's like shaking and moving and a smile on my face, if we can start practicing that in a real tactile way as well, we'd be nailing the world. Fuck yeah. We got this.
I have to say, and I can, even as it comes up in my mind, I can feel myself wanting to go, oh, is this right or wrong? And put some sort of a judgment on it. But the releasing of the anger, when we did that process, was it last week?
Last week, yeah.
It was cool to witness how much fun it actually became.
Yeah.
Like, initially, it felt really silly, particularly because I'd literally, like, it was perfect timing. I'd been in a stellar mood all day. And then just before we were on the break before coming in, and something happened, which, like, I was just like, right, like, super angry. And then it was perfect that we come in and it's like, okay, cool, we've got Josh here from Rage Club. So I kind of, it started off really serious and really intense for me, and like, I get this out of my body. And then by the end of it, I was like, okay, cool, like, more, this is super fun, like, let me just, you know, get all of this out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 it becomes, it serves us, it serves us, it serves us, it's so cool.
So what kind of people are you looking to get this work out to?
At the moment, like, so the rage aspect of things is anyone that really wants to work on themselves. Yeah. And what the beauty is, men, women, like teenagers, older people, when we all turn up in a space together, we are doing a lot more work than when we try and do just women or just men just kids, because we've all got different gifts for each other.
Yes.
And that's the beauty of alchemizing. So when these people turn up, they're already aware of that. And that's powerful. And then from there, it's taking people who need the extra energy in their lives because they're seeding something. You know, they're like Martin Luther King Jr. They're standing for something in the world and they will not be stopped. And I just want to give them that extra energy to start bowling people over with waves of massive energy. And this work and connecting with this is super powerful.
Yeah.
And so then, like, my ideal client in that case is an entrepreneur or a high-performing professional that needs some help, an injection of, like, I know I'm holding back because I don't know how to deal with it.
Mm.
And it's like, just let it go. Cool. Give me a call. Because I will show you how to let it go and then transform it into serving you.
Yeah.
And that's my power. That's my work.
Yeah. What was that wording you just used there? It's like that just hit me. I know I'm holding back, but I can't remember what you said after that. But that's been something for me that, again, because I've come from so much of the cognitive, you know, like figure it all out on a mental level, I've had this real experience of, like, I know I'm holding back and I don't know how to remove the block.
Yeah.
And it's only been when I started moving into more of this kind of somatic-based stuff where we actually tap into the feeling and move through the feeling and I guess recalibrate the nervous system to be able to, like, go through this somatic expression, that it's like, oh, well, I still don't necessarily fully comprehend on a intellectual level what was holding me back.
Yeah.
But I don't need to anymore.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? I don't need to look behind me to go forward.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I had a friend say to me a few months ago about, Brie, you don't strike me as someone who would hold back from being themselves. And I actually said to her, I was like, you know, it's really interesting that someone looking from the outside would see that. But for me, I know that I hold back from being myself because I don't yet know who I am. And such a massive component of now this somatic work has been figuring out who that person is, because that blocks out the way.
Yeah.
You know, that there's no longer that thing of like, yeah, I know I'm holding back.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's holding me back. Yeah, that's gone.
Yeah. And the misconception here as well, and I just want to land this really quickly, is that the idea of time spent on this is value is backwards.
Mm, yes, yes.
Right? So I can take someone through a process in 15 minutes, remove that block, and they can carry on with their lives.
Yes.
And there's no need to sit there and look at why that existed, what the story is. Like, I don't really mind if you were 3-year-old when this came in and you had this experience and this, and we have to spend 20 minutes getting all the details down. It doesn't need to be that way. It's like, cool, 15-minute session with me over the phone, video, in person. Mm-hmm. I can help you find it, unblock it, and move on with your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you start, and the thing is, it's a muscle.
Yeah.
And so the second you do it a couple of times, or when you've started doing it a couple of times, then it becomes almost like, I feel it, can't quite get it yet on my own.
Yeah.
Give me a call, we'll get it together.
Yeah.
And then you move through it again. Yeah. And then next time it's like, fuck, I know that. Bang. And you just start punching through.
Yeah.
And that is where you start riding the waves of life.
Yeah.
And that's like, nothing can hold us back then.
Yes.
And then when your friend says to you, wow, you don't feel like you turn up, like you never hold back, you're like, fucking don't.
Yeah.
And,
exactly.
And then you're just like, and then they're like, oh my God, I want to be like you.
Yeah.
And that's where the admiration comes from. And that's where the fun and the enjoyment and excitement and, fuck, we're not in two worlds. Like, am I doing this right? Do people like me? And all these little tiny voices in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, unapologetically, I am in this moment right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me is human.
Mm. To follow on from that.
Yeah.
Working, I mean, we did through, I'm assuming I can speak into that. You ran this Rage Club kind of demo, I suppose, if you want to call it that, at Jeffrey Slater and Kate Shiffy Gray's event. And with them, we worked through a lot of, you know, leaning into leaning into like choosing joy and pleasure and happiness and, you know, I guess those, the other valuable emotions and really like expanding on our ability to be with all of them. But through those 6 days, every morning I woke up and I was like, fuck, I feel like I've just, you know, like shed another layer of skin.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm a completely different person from who I was just yesterday.
Yeah.
And then I started having, you know, friends from, so quick backstory, I've just moved up to the Gold Coast recently. So a lot of my friends from my hometown, Adelaide, I guess, following the journey via social media. And all these inboxes started flooding in being like, what's going on for you, Brie? Like in the last week, you feel like a completely different person just from how I'm seeing you show up on social media. And yeah, it literally came down to just going through the experience. Mm. You know, it wasn't about like sitting there and doing all this, you know, hour long, like cognitive based work. It was just feel it.
Yeah. The next time someone puts a piece of paper in front of me and write out your goals for the next 5 years and like how you're going to punch through the things that are getting in your way, it doesn't excite me. It's like kind of like a goal is created in the moment of the passion that comes through. I'm fired up to get this done. And when that energy shows up every day, it gets fucking done.
Yeah.
You know, there's no more waking up, reading 15 cards of affirmations, checking out your local like kind of store for inspirational quotes. It's like, no, I am this energy right now. And then life is flowing for us.
Yes.
And it's like, fuck, getting out of bed every morning is fun.
Yes.
Like I don't have to sit there and coax myself out of bed. I wake up and get going because that energy is powering me, not my mind.
Yes.
Because the mind wants to fucking distract us all the time, quite honestly.
Yes.
It wants to be distracted with the next shiny thing, the next idea, the next relationship, whatever it's going on. Yeah. And when that energy is being felt, it's like, cool, I've got time to be distracted, but there's also this niggling feeling inside of me, back on my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fucking cool.
Because
now we're not doing it to ourselves. Ourselves are doing it for us.
Yes.
And that is the power.
Yeah. You're the energy. Like, you are the energy as opposed to trying to tap into the energy.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeffrey Slater landed it for me when he said, the mind is ultimately a survival organ.
Nice.
Whereas it's the heart and the body that are, like, is here to thrive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, particularly the individuals I generally work with, athletes, business owners, you know, a lot of entertainers, public figure kind of based individuals, my experience with them is that so heavily mindset based, you know, particularly athletes, it's drilled in mindset, get in the right mindset before you go out there and do the thing, as opposed to like, just be the energy, you know, be the mindset, not the, don't focus on tapping into it, just fucking be it.
Yeah. And the first, and I'm just like, one of my friends calls me Mr. Trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can feel energy so easily and it's easy for me to provoke it.
Yeah.
And the thing with that is that the mind has so many mechanisms to stop us going into that trigger, into that fear, into that kind of excitement, into that love, into that distraction, right? And so it's just like, well, if everybody could just get out of their head, it's that word just again. If you could just lean in, it's like, it's not that simple, because if it was, we'd have already done it.
Yeah.
And so it takes people like you, it takes people like me to sit there and go, hey, I see you and I want to work with you because I have the code. So I have the way of getting you out of your story quicker than you'll be able to do it yourself.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah.
I've done this so many times now. I'm efficient.
Ugh.
You want to be efficient?
Yeah.
Yeah. Done. Let's get going.
Yeah.
And that's it. There's no sales pitch. There's nothing. It's just like, who's fed up?
Mm.
Who's fed up with doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's, yeah. And so the fear around dropping the mind, what it means, all the stories, all the analysis that we do in our heads to create safety, how we turn up, like it can go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
This mind of ours is the powerfulest computer in the world for a reason. And it's like, we need new programs. We need new operating systems to start changing this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we've got it. We want to share it. We're fucking loving it.
Yes.
come work with us.
Yeah.
And on that, I want to, I don't know if this will come out before February the 14th, but Valentine's Day, we're running a Rage Club as a special around the focus of relationships.
Nice.
So if you're pissed that you're single, come and work it out. And if you're pissed with your partner, come and work it out. Just come and work it out with me. It's fun. You're going to learn a lot.
Yeah, it's a blast. It really is. Yeah, so much fun. Beautiful. To wrap it up, social media links, anything like that, the stage is yours.
So rage.club is my URL. That will take you to my Facebook page where I regularly talk about the different impacts that rage has on our lives, where I run the events. If you want to check out more of my other programs, PM me through Rage Club or through my Facebook page, Joshua Shanks. The URL is Joshua Shanks Official. Surprising amount of Joshua Shankses out there.
Really?
Yeah, crazy. So get in touch if you're interested in working one-on-one. I'm based on the Gold Coast, but this can work remotely too. And yeah, enjoy. Like, thank you for listening. If you've got this far through, fucking amazing. I hope you've got something from this. And quite honestly, I'd love to hear from you. If I've pissed you off at all, let me know. If you've enjoyed it, let me know as well.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. This is fun.
Now, before we sign off, before I hook you up with all the relevant links and hoo-ha, I want to quickly just speak into an event that I've, or rather a program that I've got rolling around at the beginning of March, and it's called Voice. Now, I've been running Voice since the beginning of the year. We're currently in the midst of round two. Round one in January was a huge success, huge transformation for the individuals involved. And we are about to kick off week two for round two. And March 3rd, we kick off Voice 3.0. Now, Voice is focused on having you lean into and become the person you need to be in order to create what you're looking to create in the world. Voice is about helping you to understand, to recognize, and to step into your unique message through whatever your chosen pursuit in life is. And to give you an insight into some of the individuals we've had roll through the program thus far, I'm talking aspiring world champion athletes. I'm talking real estate investors. I'm talking single mums who are looking to create a passive income. I'm talking yoga teachers, entrepreneurs, spiritual practitioners. And then the people who are just looking to really like find who they are in life and align with that to create a life that feels better from the inside out. And so, as I said, Voice 3.0 is kicking off at the beginning of March. I've only got 10 spots. It's an incredibly limited capacity to ensure I can give everyone my individual attention and that everyone gets as much out of it as possible. It's 4 weeks. If you want in, you know what to do. Hit me up via the social media by searching Brianna Bowley on Instagram or Facebook. That's spelt BrianaBowley. Let me know that you want in. We'll jump on a call. We'll have a chat about what your goals are. We'll make sure you're the right fit for the program. And from there, you're in. Bada bing, bada boom. All systems go on the way to creating the life of your wildest dreams. And until next time, what else is possible?